This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم يا الله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. والله show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it and help us to stay away from falsehood and show us falsehood as falsehood. Continuing on our journey on Surah Kahf, we completed verse number 44, which was the end of the story of the two companions, one of whom had the garden and was tested by his wealth and possessions, and the end of that was not good because he attributed all of that to himself rather than to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said in the beginning, there's an introductory khutbah, then there's the story of the people of the cave, then there is a khutbah. Then there is the second story, which we completed, which is of the two companions. Now we come to the third khutbah. And after this will come the story of Musa alayhi salam, and then after that, Dhulqarnain, and then the concluding khutbah. So we are now, two stories are finished. We are in the middle khutbah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now draws for us another scene to expose the reality of the world that we live in, the life on earth, what is its true reality. And this continues from the last story, because that man who had so much arrogance about his wealth and his gardens, had his gardens destroyed. And that gives us an idea that no matter what you have, life here is fleeting. Everything lasts for only a very short time, and it lacks solid substance. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by Surah Kahf, ayah number 45. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, set for them the example of the life of this world, the similitude, the parable of the life of this world. He says, it is like water that we send down from the skies, like the rain that comes down. And the water which gets absorbed by the plants, it mixes with the foliage and brings it to life. It becomes very green and attractive, and all of that becomes very lush. And then immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after that, فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ, it mixes, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. And without going into any details, that it produces flowers and fruit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then it becomes dry stubble. That's how quickly it goes. تَذْرِيحُ الرِّيَاحُ, which gets scattered by the winds. It looks as if nothing existed there. This is how quickly it goes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah has power over all things. عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Everything in the universe is under the absolute power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has control of everything. And now we can spend the whole session today just on this. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Because if you start reflecting anything, Allah has power over it. Now you're listening to me, most of you attentively. Who is behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away our hearing in 1 second. He can keep the hearing intact. He can take away our understanding in 1 second. And everything else. So we're just taking a quick example that all the systems that are working in the inner ear, the sound waves that are being carried to you, how it's being deciphered instantaneously, all of this is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's happening inside us that we are aware of, what we are not aware of, and in the universe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that everything is changing, but Allah is in charge. And the biggest point here is that nothing that we see lasts. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lasting. Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everything is transient. No matter what you have, how successful you are, how healthy you are, everything that Allah has created has a beginning and an end. And it goes by very, very quickly. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a quick. Rain comes down, green, dry, blown away, gone. This is how quickly life ends. In reality, that's how quickly things end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us sort of reassess our life and our priority. Where do you spend your life and where do you put all your effort? So here is a contrast for the values. There are people who attach great importance to what they are of the dunya things only and give it the uppermost position in terms of priorities. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that it is something different, and that is going to come in the next ayah. And just like everything is scattered, one day our bones are going to be scattered. One day they will disintegrate, become dust, and it may be blowing around. The dust that blows around, you don't know whose bones it contains. Tazrihur riyah, nothing exists. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us over and over again that this, what you have here, is very transient, but what is coming ahead is very, very significant. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing on this, he says, Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala. So immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you sort of distill what dunya is, it boils down to two things. He said, Al-mal wal-banun, your material possessions, wealth, and your children, your progeny. That's what, if we look sincerely into our lives, where is 99% of our effort? Earning a living or taking care of our children? Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the order of mal first and banun second. Why? Because at every age there is a desire for wealth. But there is only a limited time when we want children. You know, 18-year-old doesn't want a child right now. A little kid doesn't want a child. At my age, if most normal people wouldn't want a child, right? It's just between the age of somewhere 30 and 40, you know, you want children. But wealth, that desire for that doesn't end till the dust enters our stomach in the grave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. Now he says, Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not condemn it, because both of these are ni'mas. These are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we use them as blessings. Okay. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says elsewhere that mal and banun are a fitna. They are a trial. Because anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes you forget, become oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what we call the dunya in that negative sense. So if our children and if our wealth distract us and make us forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that becomes a fitna, a trial for us. Yet, we can use the same wealth to do a lot of good. And we can raise the children in such a way that they'll be a means for us after we are gone to earn hasanat, you know, that they will continue, their good deeds would be written in our accounts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is a zina, means on the exterior it looks very attractive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran elsewhere, Surah Ali Imran, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the desire for women and children and wealth and heaps of gold and mansions, all has put that in us. Okay. Yet he has told us to regulate it, to use it in the right way, in moderation, to use these as blessings. And we use it as blessings means we appreciate it. We don't just take the gift for a gift. We look at the giver, that where did this come from? We don't attribute all the things we have to ourselves, how smart I am and what a good decision and, you know, what a good investment and what a good doctor and what a good businessman I am and all of that. Everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't make these things that Allah grants us to just become a gift, that we forget about the giver, that we should always think of the giver who granted us this, and then to show proper gratitude. And part of that gratitude is to use it in the best way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use it. So he's saying this is a zina, this is a makeup, this is just the exterior. Now the person who has a sound heart sees beyond the makeup. He looks at the inner reality of it. Okay, so he says, if Allah has given me a child, it's from Allah, then there are some responsibilities that come with it. Allah has given me wealth, there is some responsibilities that come with it. So that person can then use these ni'mah, these na'am, in a way that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that right after that, these things don't last. Because if you look, don't have to go too far back. Look at your grandfather's generation. Where is your grandfather's? And most of you, not the kids. Where is their wealth? Gone. Distributed wherever it is. If you go another generation before that, you have no clue where they are. You don't, may not even know where their bones are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all that wealth is gone, all those connections are gone. Wal baqiyatu salihat. What remains is good deeds. That's what you take with you. Khairun inda rabbika. This is what is considered good and sound in the sight of Allah, with Allah, is your good deeds, okay, which are permanent. And thawabun wa khairun amala. And this is where your hopes should be pinned. This is better for you to attach your hopes to. Amal here is hopes. Because we, many of us, attach our hopes to our retirement funds, to our children. You know, I'll have enough money when I retire, so I won't depend on anyone. My children will take care of me in my old age. And hopes like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, attach your hopes to your good deeds that you did to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's the only thing that counts. And we've seen that. We have experienced it in this community. Four of us buried well-known doctor in a cemetery, and the children stood far away near the limousine. We lowered, we did the Salatul Janazah dua. They did not even come to the grave. They stood there near the limo, got in the limo and left in this community. Okay. So don't count on anybody. May Allah make our children, you know, righteous and noble, and help them to serve us in our old age, but don't depend on that. And don't depend on wealth. You know, very quickly, as you can see what has happened in last year, things that were worth $100 are now worth $30 or $15 or $10. Okay? It goes that quickly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a real life lesson, that just like that water that came down in the rain, tomorrow morning you don't know where it is. It's gone. And that's how it is. Everything is scattered and nothing remains. So what should be our relationship with wealth and our children? What do you think? Should we ignore them? Should we become monks, not have any children? Should we give up all wealth and say, I want nothing, I'm going to live like a faqir? Is that what Islam teaches us?
Moderation.
What Allah has written will come to you, but just remember that the reality is that all of these are sent to you as a test, and that you got to use them in the right way. Two of the questions that will be asked on the Day of Judgment before our feet can even move, one of the questions would be where you earned your money and where you spent it. Both of those are important. Okay. So wealth, and the Prophet ﷺ said that the poor will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich, because the rich will have to give a hisab for every dollar. Okay? So we have to be very careful of that. So what is baqiyatul salihat? What are these good deeds? What do you consider good deeds? Feeding the hungry, charitable works, we make that charitable works. What else?
Sharing the knowledge, whatever you learn.
Spreading the knowledge, useful knowledge, yes.
Charity. Leaving behind a good child who keep praying for you.
Leaving behind a good child, raising the children, tarbiyah of your children properly. Every day what you do, five times a day. Salah, Saum, Hajj, Umrah, Zakat, all of those. What else? The dhikr, tasbihat. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that salihat, the easiest, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are the salihat. But anything that is done sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a good deed, is included in this. Ikhlas in our action. Giving nasihas out of sincerity, good advice to people. So all of this, tilawa of the Quran, enjoining good, forbidding evil, amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, all of these are good deeds to which we need to pin our hopes. That I'm counting on this. That means I can only count on them if I have been doing this regularly. I'm building a bank account of these good deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that doesn't go down. It stays. Okay. So again, to do that, we need to review our lives to see where does our effort go. How much of these tasbihat do we do? So now that we are sitting here, let's at least do it one time, all of us together. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah. La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, all of these. So, alhamdulillah, you have gained just by saying that, and inshallah, we say it with sincerity, knowing the meaning of that. So, these two ayahs are meant to establish a proper value system, realign, recalibrate our priorities as to what is important. Now, as we said, Islam does not prohibit enjoyment of luxurious comforts and things as long as they're obtained by halal means, legitimate ways, and used in moderation, never for one-upmanship, never for show and vanity, or, I have better than you, like the person of the garden, That's the most important. Enjoy it, but don't do it because to show people that I have succeeded, I am so and so. And that is difficult sometimes because we live in that materialistic competitive society. So I also feel that I have to show that I am somebody. So we must always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these things and always stay grounded. And we can use our children and our wealth to secure good deeds. And that's what the whole bottom line is.